Hi friends, it's Brittany. Before we dive into today's episode, I have a quick ask for you. I need your help. I'm doing a short listener survey to get to know you a little bit better. Who's tuning in? What do you love? And how I can keep Conscious Pathways fresh, meaningful, and aligned with what you need. It won't take more than 5 minutes, and your feedback means so much to me. It helps me grow and helps this podcast to grow with you. You'll find the link in the show notes, and I would be so grateful if you took a moment to share your thoughts. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. And now let's get into the episode. Hi, and welcome to Conscious Pathways, the podcast where we reimagine education through a lens of social justice, community, and compassion. I'm your host, Brittany. Today's guest is someone whose work deeply resonates with that mission. Bea Alvarado is a child development specialist, children's book author, and visionary founder of Mother Earth's Learning Center. Bea's story takes us through a healing journey, one that brought her back to nature and ultimately inspired a bold reimagining of what early childhood education can look like. In our conversation, Bea shares her vision for the future where children learn through connection with Earth, with their emotions, with their communities. We explore the importance of breaking generational cycles, creating sensory-rich learning experiences, and the power of storytelling, especially in her upcoming book, Miss Bea and Her Magic Hat. If you're curious about how nature can be a teacher, how community can be a classroom, and how love and liberation can shape our learning spaces, then this episode is for you. Let's hop into it. Hello, hello, and welcome to Conscious Pathways. Today, I am joined by the fabulous and fashionable Bea. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. How are you doing?
I'm doing so well. We've been having some rain lately, which we definitely needed, but today is a sunny day, so it's been nice to just get outside and feel the sunshine. I've been loving it.
Yeah, same. I'm hoping to go and roller skate later on today in the sunshine. That's definitely become one of my most favorite hobbies.
It sounds like the most Southern California thing too.
100%. Yeah. Because we're in sunny San Diego, I have the opportunity to be able to go and enjoy that.
Yes, absolutely. But to get us rolling, tell me a little bit about just how you got interested in child development and education and where that blossomed from.
Yeah. I truly believe that it came from my family. I grew up in a Mexican family, so it was just very large. My mom has about 5 sisters, 5 brothers, very extended family. And I was one of the oldest. I was often left to babysit, and we just always had the best time. And a lot of it also came from, I have a sister who's 6 years younger than me. And so I like to say I helped to raise her. And yeah, I really leaned into child caregiving, and I discovered a love of it after my first child development class in high school. That's where I took my first class, and I started working with toddlers at New Generation Learning Center. And then that's when I realized this is it. This is for me.
I love working with the infants and toddlers. I've really grown to just love that age. That's been just the wonder that they have. And I know it's not for everyone, but I absolutely adore just watching them develop and watching how quickly they develop. Just one day they're experimenting with movement, and the next day they're taking their first steps, and you got to see them work through every stage of that. And it is just a testament to the beauty of child development,
100%. Really. 100%. Yeah, I'm obsessed. I love the milestones. I love seeing their little brains work. Like, how does this work? Like, how do you do this? And just like their perseverance, just being able to see how they really just want to figure things out and are just so curious about the world. So yeah, it's definitely a passion.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And you've also mentioned that you have been a generational trauma breaker, right? A breaker of generational trauma. And I want to know a little bit more about what does that mean to you, and how does that influence your work with children?
That's a great question. I recently started speaking that into existence and into myself, because I really, truly believe that it has to do with intention. So as a parent, and I've not had this opportunity yet, but as a parent, I think that it's really important to just think about what your values will be and how to lead with intention, with love more than anything. And then self-awareness. I feel like it's just a really beautiful opportunity to reparent ourselves and be able to provide some things that maybe we didn't get in our childhood or patterns that we have seen that we want to see just broken. So just, I mean, also as an eldest sister, I feel like I just grew up with a lot of responsibility. And I'm making my mission now to help children feel seen and heard and safe more than anything. And I really love working with families because I feel like it helps to encourage healing and compassion and connection. So everything that I do, whether it's childcare, storytelling, community events, it's just really rooted in the belief that we can raise emotionally intelligent and grounded human beings just by starting with ourselves.
Yes, that is such a great point. And it's something that I know me and my older brother have had lots of chats and conversations around, because it can be a lot easier, right? The easier route is to continue down the same route and the same road and keep doing the same things that we saw growing up. And that's really the easier way to go about it. But it's hard to break the mold, and it's hard to, you know, go to therapy and work on the things we have to work on and learning more about our trauma and start learning about where this comes from. That's the hard road, but it is so worth it, because you start to see that, right? When you have children and when you grow your family, right? You start to see the interactions you have, and you start to see, I don't want them to have to carry the same things that I'm having to carry. I don't want them to have to go through the same things I have to go through. And to break those cycles and to break past that is such a beautiful thing. And it's hard work, but it is well worth it.
100%. Yes, 100% agree.
Yes. So you've mentioned that you use a lot of elements in your work, including storytelling and hosting community events. In what ways have you seen your community grow from these events and from your storytelling?
Yeah, so I definitely would have to say that my favorite part of working with children is being able to provide those opportunities to be able to play with like natural materials, something as simple as quinoa or dried rice, have it be dyed with food coloring or some kind of natural pigment and add in some essential oils. And you really have this sensory experience where children of all ages, even adults, they truly love being able to be present in that moment and really be able to go back to your senses, because as babies and toddlers, they're all about sensory and discovering your world. And I feel like as adults, we lose that. So being able to see that reignited in those community events or storytelling, it's just really beautiful to see that spark of just inner child joy.
I love being a part of that spark when you really see it and you start seeing the connections. It's one thing about working with kids is they do have this sense of wonder and this curiosity, and a lot of things are new to them. So those are just very exciting, and it's very fresh and new. Like when they first play with Play-Doh or they first get paint for the first time and they're experimenting and they're seeing, how does it feel? How does it smell? What happens if I do this, right? That's a spark of wonder that we get to experience and see every single day, which is just a beautiful, glorious experience. But then when you add in the community and the families, right, and being able to share that sense of wonder with other people, it's also a beautiful experience, because you get to see that when families are connecting together and they're getting to see the joy on their child's face when they're getting to connect either with nature or connect with materials, right? They're getting to see that and see the value in these materials and these values, of course, in that. And I know a lot of your work is connecting not just students, but also families and communities with nature. What ways are you bringing nature into that as well?
Yeah, so I have started a company called Mother Earth's Learning Center. Our primary goal is to open up a nature-based childcare center and be able to teach young children under the age of 5 all about gardening, composting, and regenerative agriculture. But until we find a perfect location, what I'm doing right now is we're doing pop-up sensory experiences. So going to community events such as like San Diego Made or the La Mesa Earth Day Festival. So we go and we have a tent and we provide some like blankets. That way we could be as grounded to the earth as possible. And I provide sensory bins, whether it be, like I said before, the dried rice, or whether it be just like lentils or something as simple as cornstarch and water, do like a play snow. And then we just incorporate opportunities of learning, such as like wooden scoops and like other bowls to transfer and have those like practical skills that they can practice on, but then also just providing an opportunity for them to be creative. So every time we have a different pop-up, I always see children play with something different in a unique and new way. So it's just, it's really fascinating for me to watch them, how like their brains like make do with something as simple as just natural material, something that you can find in your kitchen. So it's just really, it's a joy. And I love doing that.
Yes, it really is a joy in finding those ways that we can connect with that. And it sounds like there's a lot of inspiration from the Reggio Emilia philosophy and maybe even a little bit of Montessori in there as well.
100%. Really, and a little bit of Waldorf too.
And a little Waldorf. Yes. Yeah. Just really connecting with nature and bringing nature into our classrooms. It's probably one of my favorite things about the Reggio Emilia philosophy in education is that the environment is your third teacher. So how are you, what is your environment looking like, and how are we incorporating that and making sure that it's reflective of not only just our values and what's important to us and who's important to us, but also how are we making sure that our natural environment is also uplifted, and how are we making sure that it's a key component of the work that we're doing? Our other teacher, there are other friends. Mm-hmm. And so really looking at nature in that capacity. And I know this is an area that a lot of educators and parents and providers really would love to incorporate more into their practices, but oftentimes might not know where to start, might not know what to do in terms of just incorporating more nature-based environment and nature-based learning. What could be some good strategies for if a parent or an educator or provider is really interested in that? What could be some good entry-level strategies that they might want to start with?
I love this question. So I don't believe that you need to have just like a forest nearby or even just fancy materials to start. Nature is everywhere. If you go on a nature walk and you collect fallen leaves or rocks or sticks, you can use that for art, even if it's something that you can't necessarily keep and like glue onto paper or something. It's just a simple process. It's the process of it all, and it's the experience of it all. So even just like reading books about seasons or animals, talking about how we're all connected, having those conversations, I believe that it's the most important is just being a model. So as an adult, I feel that it's our responsibility to show children to do as we do. What is the saying? Do as you see, not as you do. Something like that. Where you have to be the example, basically. And so modeling curiosity, I feel, is really important. Asking questions is really important, whether it be about bugs or the weather or just all of these little small moments, they all add up and they create lasting habits that are rooted in gratitude and really help start stewardship, environmental stewardship, just getting them curious about their world and just being able to look up at the sky. It's about being really grateful for the smaller moments and yeah, just keeping it simple.
Yes, keeping it simple. You brought up so many great points, right? Because nature is constantly around us, right? You don't have to live next to a forest or a waterfall or a creek or anything like that to experience nature. And it's in those small things. And I think that's the beauty of working with kids and especially young kids, right? Again, so much of their world is new to them and exciting to them. I've seen kids we'll just be walking down the street and then they'll just see a rock and they need to look at this. They need to feel the rock. They need to observe it. I'm just going, right?
Yeah.
My eyes are on the prize. I'm like, we got a place to be. We have to go. And to them, they're like, no, I have to stop and see this rock. You don't understand. Have you seen this rock? Mm-hmm. Just a rock. But to them, they're observing so much about it. And it helps me to stop and to breathe and be like, yeah, you're right. Let's take a moment to observe what's around us and pay attention to what's around us. And as you said, they're always watching, they're always observing, they're always listening, even when we don't think that they are. They will do as we do. So if we take moments to also be in awe of the world around us, to look at it like, oh, do you hear the way the wind is going through the trees? That sounds really beautiful. Let's close our eyes and listen to it. Do you feel how good the sun feels on your skin? Let's just take a moment to close our eyes and just feel that. Do you hear the birds? Do you see how blue the sky looks today? Mm-hmm. There's so much that you can just do even in those little moments of just observing. Like you mentioned, if you don't have to pay all this money to have the community play things, like environmental things, they're great. They're beautiful. If you do have the money to get community play things, absolutely go for it. They last a long time, but also knowing that those are also really expensive things and you don't have to break the bank to nature into your program and incorporate nature into your everyday. And I think we look at today's society and we look at the capitalism of it all and all of the isms of it all, right? And, I think we forget that at our core, right, those are indigenous practices, our ancestral practices come from nature, come from that with nature and our environment. And I like to think of it as our ancestral right to connect with nature. And we've lost our way, just again, all the isms, all the systems of oppression, and all of those things that kind of have gathered our attention elsewhere by connecting with nature, by connecting with our right to rest and all of those things. Those are practices that we can show the children in our lives, and they can take that value and they can start to learn and they get more curious, right? They get more curious about, what are you talking about? What do you have over there?
Yeah, definitely.
With your philosophy and your approach to education, it's really rooted in the really holistic development of the child. So, you know, you're looking at their social emotional development, you're looking at their physical development, and all of that is rooted in either nature or is rooted in these other practices. So how, when we're looking at nature-based practices or nature-based inquiry, how would you say that supports the child's overall well-being, overall growth and development?
Yeah, I did look up a scientific evidence a little bit to back up what I'm saying. Yes, I love science. But studies have shown that time in nature helps to reduce blood pressure, stress hormone levels, reduces nervous system arousal, enhances immune system function, increases self-esteem, reduces anxiety, and improves your mood. So there's just so many amazing benefits to being in nature, being outside. And that's really where a lot of my programming is rooted and where I have science to back me up. But yeah, no, definitely. I feel that children who learn in nature-based environments, they really do tend to be more creative, more confident, because there's just a natural rhythm and calm that comes from being outside. I see this in the children that I work with. Specifically, what comes to mind is my most recent baby that I nannied for. He was 5 months old when I started working with him. And whenever he would get into an emotionally dysregulated moment where he would be crying and just really unable to soothe himself, I would take him outside and he would just look at the trees and, like you said, listen to the wind and the leaves. And I could literally see him like calming down and breathing and really being present in that moment. And so that's one of my favorite examples. But I really do think that for kids in traditional classrooms, they really thrive when they have that opportunity to play, to discover, and to have that connection with the earth. So I feel like it really helps with problem-solving skills, empathy, the ability to collaborate with others and flourish. And they just really develop a self-respect for living things in general and then and their role for carrying the planet. So they get really curious about that. And I feel like it really, it holds up a mirror to like the parents, and they'll ask you straight because children are very direct. And like you said, they notice everything. So they'll ask you like, hey, that doesn't go in the recycling bin, or hey, why are you not putting that in the compost bin? So they'll call you out on some of the things that we don't necessarily think about. And so that's the future of an environmental steward, just being an observant, aware, and connected individual with Mother Earth.
Yes. And I think that kids love to have, like, they love rules. They love to have boundaries. They love to know, you know, where things go, how things fit into the world. That's their job, is to figure out the world and to figure out how the world around them works and how the people around them works. And so when you give them frameworks to work within, right, you show them what recycling is, you show them about gardening, you show them about composting and why it's important and how that helps the earth and helps the environment and helps the animals that live in the environment, right? They love this kind of work and they grasp onto it because it's, oh, you've given me a framework to which I can work within. And it's in that their thinking does tend to be very black and white, right? So they don't have a whole lot of room for nuance, especially the very young kids don't have a whole lot of room for nuance. Older kids, as they get older, they start understanding that a little bit more. You give them that framework of what's a recycled material, how do we use that? They
Love it. And you accountable. They will be the best accountability buddy.
For sure.
Because they're not going
to
let
anything
slide.
Even when you don't want it. Yeah.
Even when you don't want it, you're just like, oh, I just don't want to walk all the way over to the recycling bin. But they're like, but that's where it goes. It helps the environment. And you're like, you're right. You're right. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Because we're leaving this environment to them. So I feel like it's up to us to really be able to teach them how to take care of her and how to regenerate her and how to just be able to really instill some hope into her generation.
Yes, I love that you mentioned just instilling that idea of hope, right, into children, that they have the capacity to change the world and they have the capacity to make a difference by even little small actions by recycling or their bigger actions by advocating, right? When we give children the power, when we empower them to know that their voice matters, that their actions matter, that when we care about things other than ourselves, that matters and that makes a difference. It's a really, really big motivator. And it does help with that hope. And it helps them to have the capacity to make change and do change. Right? Are we really wanting to advocate for the world as it is? Or do we want to advocate for the world as it should be, or the world that we know that it can be? A big portion and a big part of our work as educators with young children is that we have a role in making sure that they understand that they're powerful. Even if they're little, they are powerful.
Yeah, definitely. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like whatever you tell the child, that's the story that they will tell themselves growing up. For example, if you tell them that they're a bad child, then that's what they'll end up telling themselves in their head. So I feel like it's really important to instill belief in themselves really early on. The way that you speak to a child, a baby, an infant, a toddler, it's really important because it becomes their inner voice. And that inner voice is who you live with in your head for the rest of your life. So I think it's just really important to be aware of what it is that we say around younger children.
Yes, what we say, what we do, even what we think, right? Our thoughts and ideas, if we're not practicing what we're preaching, but also if our thoughts are incongruent with our actions, then it's going to be really harder to keep up that facade. I believe this. And that's also the beauty about kids and even older kids is that if you're trying to BS them, they know.
Yeah, they'll call you out on it too.
They'll call you out on it. They will just know if you're not bringing your whole true authentic self, that they'll know it's going to come out. So even like our thoughts and ideas about children, about their capacity to learn, to grow, to make decisions, to advocate, our thoughts about how we view children, I think, is a really big and important role in that too. Do we see children as whole? Do we see children as having the ability to learn, to change? Do we see children as powerful? Do we see them as people?
Yeah. They're little humans.
People.
Yeah.
Do we see their humanity? I think those are big things. If we're walking into a space with children and we don't see those things, it's going to come out in the way that we interact with them. Mm-hmm. We say to them, how we talk about them and how we talk to them. We have to be really mindful of all of these things because, like you said, it will become their reality. The words that we say, the tone that we say, our actions will become how they internalize that. And then that's going to change their inner voice. And those are things that growing up, I wish people would have been more mindful of those things too.
I know. But you don't know what you know until you know it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't know what you know. And when you do know, then you can make the changes and you can do everything to make that better and to change that for future generations.
100%. Yeah.
Yes. And so you have something special that's coming out very soon.
Yeah.
A children's book. Would you love to tell us a little bit more about that?
I would. Yes. I'm quite proud of it. I didn't realize actually that I've been doing this for a while. All of the children that I nanny, I take pictures with them to send to their parents. And at the end of caring for them, I put together like little picture books. And sometimes it rhymes. Sometimes it's something simple, just like a picture book. And I've been creating little books for children that I've worked with. And so now I've created a storybook for all children. And it's called, I actually have a copy of it right here. This is the first copy. It's Miss Bee and Her Magic Hat. And this was illustrated by my childhood friend and creative director, Nana Rohde. She is an amazing artist. As you can see, it's quite a likeness. But it's a book that I'm hoping can really just instill a curiosity in children and really help them to see that the love within you is what helps things around you grow. Like one of the best examples I like to talk about is the experiment of two plants and having talked to one lovingly and encouraging it and affirmations are said to it versus a plant that is talked down to and vocally abused. And you really get to see which plant thrives and which plant withers and dies. And yeah, I just really believe that speaking affirmations and really being able to let children know that feeling your feelings is really important, identifying and validating those feelings. And even though that there are people in the world that may not understand you or may not be able to see the goodness in you, I just think that it's really important to understand that the love that you need is within you and it helps things grow. Yeah, I'm really excited. It's publishing. The publishing date is April 11th, but it's actually available for pre-order now at our website, www.motherearthlearningcenter.com. So I'm really excited about sharing this with the world.
I'm so excited for this to come out and just the story behind it. And I've heard that study with the plants before, and being able to translate that and really bring that into our work with children is so incredibly beautiful and important. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a story that's worth seeing. And the illustrations look absolutely gorgeous. So I'll link that all in my show notes if you're curious to checking that out. And, you know, I know that your hats tend to be more than just a fashion statement, right? They have a deeper meaning. Can you share a little bit more about that deeper meaning with us?
Yes. Yeah. So my love for hats really started when I started traveling. And so I traveled first to my mom's birthplace of Nayarit, Mexico, which is one of the best beaches in Mexico, by the way. But my love of my culture really began because I was really able to see just the ancestral togetherness of family. My family is huge and I didn't even realize how far it extended. But I was able to bring back a piece with me. And so when I was able to visit other places, so that purple one I got in Tecate, and that was very special to me because my mom bought it for me on Father's Day. And then there's emotional connection to that. And then just it's a representation of places that I've been that I feel really connected to. It helps me connect to just my ancestors. I feel that I think about what they've been through and how they were able to persevere and be able to still have a strong culture today. And it just makes me feel really strong and powerful and magical. And so it's also an inspiration from where I got the book idea. But yeah, I feel seen when I wear the hat or the different hats that I may wear. And it's just helped me in rediscovering me and who I am and what I bring to the table. So that's the story.
Wow. And it really does sound like not only the places that you've been, but really your cultural heritage and your background and your identity all come to this coalition together and are really reflected in not only just your practices with Mother Earth's Learning Center, but also in this new book. It really does seem like it's a big driving force for a lot of things that you're doing, which I think is really beautiful to see.
Thank you.
So I've also seen you mention this idea that it takes a village to raise a child. And I also really firmly believe in that I think when we return back to our collectivism and how we nurture community with young children, I think it has a really big impact. And in this world today where things just feel even more disconnected than ever, what would you say to parents or educators who are trying to nurture a child's kind of sense of community and connection to community and nature? What would you say to them in this time right now?
I definitely feel that like my cultural identity, like you were saying, is really central to everything that I do. And in my community, I feel that there's so much wisdom and resilience that comes from generations before us, especially in how we care for the family. I think just going back to how children are very observant, being able to show them just how united we can be in the things that are most important, which is to feel safe, to feel validated. I feel that a lot of that actually can also be found in literacy. So in children's books, I feel like there's a lot of different stories that can really help be like mirrors for children and be able to see themselves in those stories. For example, in Miss B and Her Magic Hat, I feel like it really blends imagination, ancestral strength, and just honoring one's uniqueness. And so I feel that children of all backgrounds, especially Latinx children, can really see themselves in the stories that celebrate who they are and where they come from. And I just want to be able to really normalize that, especially emotional expression, creativity, and cultural pride. I believe that all cultures are really beautiful and we have a lot to learn from each other. So I feel that there's more that brings us together that keeps us apart. I believe it was Jane Goodall who said that we are all one human race. And no matter our differences and our different beliefs, I believe that more so it's important to come together and it'll make for just a more loving world and a more understanding place. And I believe that as educators, it's our duty to really be able to instill that and create a new generation of children that are more understanding and more loving and more accepting, because we definitely need it.
Yes. Yes, I think we definitely need it now more than ever. We need empathetic, compassionate, kind children who are going to grow up. And what are we leaving the next generation of this planet to? And I think that's really important that we're mindful of that and that we're bringing that into our practices. And it really is a very disjointed and disconnecting time. And there's all kinds of things happening in the world, and it can make it really feel disheartening. It can feel like, what's the point? Why keep trying? And there's a point. There's definitely there's still a lot of fire here left for us. And there's so many kids and so many students who need us and need us to be strong and need us to continue to advocate for them and to give them the tools to also advocate and to see the issues for what they are and to be a part of making that change and being empowered to making that change. And on that note, how do you reimagine education?
I love this question. So I reimagine education to be something that really nurtures, like you were saying before, the whole child. So that includes mind, body, spirit, heart. I feel that a system that really honors emotional intelligence just as much as academic skills is just one where play, imagination, and connection to the earth are just really central. I envision a future where education is rooted in community, where families and educators and children are just learning from one another and caring for the world together, whether that be in a community garden or whether that be in a nature-based school. I think it's just about preparing children for the future, honestly. It's about helping them thrive right now in their wholeness and, yeah, through and through, just helping them feel seen and heard.
Yes, big snaps to that. That's the future I want to be a part of, and that's the future I want to see happening. Where can my audience find you and connect with you, and where can they find more information on the book?
Yes, first and foremost, Instagram is where I'm most active at Mother Earths LC, or my personal, it's Be Inspired Entrepreneur, which is a little bit of a mouthful, so I'll let you put that in the show notes as well. But LinkedIn, of course, Be Alvarado, and then just our website, www.MotherEarthsLearningCenter.com. We're going to be getting a revamp soon, so when we first created it, it was more so for the nature-based daycare. But since then, it's really grown into pop-up sensory experiences and soon to be hopefully consulting for child development. And then especially now as well with the book. So we've got a couple of different things going on. But all in all, it's all in service of child care and bringing that together with nature education. Yeah.
Thank you. I'll have all of that in the show notes. If you're curious and connecting with me in any of those spaces, it'll be right there. I want to thank you so much for joining me and for sharing your knowledge and your passion for education with me. Thank you so much. This has been a beautiful conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been wonderful talking to you, and I'm so grateful.
What a beautiful and inspiring, grounding conversation with Bea. I hope you're walking away just like I am, feeling inspired by the heart-centered approach to education and the deep wisdom that she brings to her lived experience. Bea reminds us that when we slow down, reconnect with nature, prioritize relationships, we open the door for healing, not just for ourselves, but for our children. If you'd like to learn more about Bea's book, Miss Bea and Her Magic Hat, be sure to follow Mother Earth's Learning Center and check out the pop-up events happening in the community. Thank you so much for being a part of this Conscious Pathways journey with me. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating and review, and share this episode. It really does help me find more listeners just like you. And until next time, stay curious, stay grounded, and stay connected. And I'll see you there for more transformative conversations in education.